Scripture today is from the book of Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Who is like me? Let them proclaim it. Let them declare and set it forth before me. Who has announced from of old the things to come? Let them tell us what is yet to be. Do not fear or be afraid. Have I not told you from of old and declared it? You are my witness. Is there any God besides me? There is no other rock. I know not one.
Reading from Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 25. So then, brothers and sisters, we are obligated not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you who did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption, then we cry, Abba, Father. That is the very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if we in fact suffer with him so that we may be also glorified in him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its enslavement to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning together as it suffers together the pains of labor. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what one already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. May God bless and lend understanding to the reading of his word. I made a whole bar full of people groan one time with one of my jokes. It was over 25 years ago. And it was the last day that I was working at the factory. And they all took me out to a local establishment. We all went out. I don't know if they took me out. I don't know who paid. Many of my coworkers joined me for one last send-off. And they knew I was leaving to pursue the ministry. And they asked me to bless the food we were eating, which had never happened before. And, you know, these were not religious people. At least I didn't understand them as such. They always seemed irreverent, and I certainly was irreverent with them. And so, on my way to becoming irreverent, it's such a hard adjustment when suddenly you go from being just an ordinary person, all of a sudden you're set apart for ministry, and it just seemed so weird to me, and I decided to do something irreverent. I closed the prayer in the name of the Father and the Son, and trying to be funny, inserted the name of our boss that everybody hated. I thought that would cause some kind of laughter for some reason, but instead they all groaned, all of them. Everybody's got a past, and that's mine. I did that. The whole room was groaning. And I learned a lesson, never forgotten. You know, people might not think that they're very interested in spirituality. People might not act like they care too much about God in their lives. But appearances are deceiving. They really had a hunger for God inside. And at that moment, I had failed to deliver. I let them down. And so they groaned. To groan means to moan, to sob, to grunt, or to murmur. And all the meanings of the word groan are just variations of the word cry, to the verb to cry. Groaning is an expression of sadness, like crying is. Groaning happens without words, and perhaps without tears, or the convulsing of the body that happens when we cry. Groaning just expresses sadness in a way. Every language has some kind of a groan, although actually the sound can vary a little bit depending on the language. There are certain cultures that groan differently, but it's still recognizable. Without any words, there's a groan that comes out when something makes them sad. And my coworkers that day expressed sadness that I chose to be irreverent when really what I had was a very serious calling. Paul, the author of Romans, wrote about groaning, and he wrote, "The Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." That's what groans are. They're an expression of sadness. No words needed. When everybody groans, we all know something bad happened. And the Holy Spirit touches those places and communicates that to the Godhead. I confess, as I said in the children's sermon, I never lost my interest in jokes that make people groan. I often told jokes, and I would call them groaners to my kids. And the kids, I loved watching them. They would initially laugh at what I said, and then they'd realize they shouldn't be laughing because that's just too stupid. And then they'd stop and groan. Why are spiders so knowledgeable? Because they find everything on the web. I'm hearing the groans. All right. Why can't a leopard hide? Because it's always spotted. Oh, groan. Later, my kids told me what these are. These are dad jokes. I called them groaners. They were dad jokes, and it's a thing. And when my son became a father last year, I bought him a dad joke book. And I wrote in the inscription, "The torch has been passed to a new generation." Groaning is not for jokes, though. In fact, quite the opposite. Groaning is for the things that make you cry. Or maybe what you would do if you just didn't have the words. If something just makes you feel bad and you can't quite get your finger on it, you can't quite articulate it, you can't identify what is bothering you, but there's just a groan inside of you, and you just can't say it. Back in Paul's day in Rome, a regular thing that made people groan, I mean seriously groan, not dad joke groan, but seriously groan, were the emperors. First, Claudius, who replaced Caligula after he was assassinated. Claudius had some skills. He built lots of roads, made some legal reforms, but he was married 4 times, and he was considered to be a paranoid individual, and that leads to suffering. When you have a paranoid leader, people get hurt. Nero, his successor, was worse. He started at the age of 16. He died at the age of 30, and during that time, he was known as cruel and debauched. He allegedly, think about how you would feel about your leader if you could prove that he commissioned the assassination of his own mother. These are the kind of leaders that were thrust upon these people as they walked around Rome. Kind of hard to look at them with awe and wonder, think of them as gods when they would treat people so badly, not to mention what they were doing to Christians, to the false belief, or supposedly false belief, that the emperor was not a god. The Christians who said there was another god besides the emperor, a greater god than the emperor, one to whom the emperor would someday have to bow, the god of eternity. And so they would persecute Christians for this belief. They'd say, oh, that's false. The emperor's God. And so everyone would suffer because of that. And were they not groaning inwardly as they went through this, as they went through life? They were misunderstood and tortured. No words were needed about their condition. They were just groaning for deliverance. But what do you ask for? A better emperor? It seems like one emperor is worse than the next, than the previous one. What do you ask for? And so Paul says, if you don't really know how to pray, you just ask the Holy Spirit to intercede with groans deeper than words. And so that's what they were encouraged to do. I believe these are universal truths. I don't believe that even though this is written in a context, even though there's a certain time and place that this appears, I don't think of this scripture as just located in that time and place. I see this as universal. I see this as forever. I believe people have been groaning every year for the last 2,000 years inside. I believe it's part of the human condition. People groan inside. Everybody here has had a bad day. If you haven't, come up to me and tell me, I've never had a bad day, Pastor Steve. We want to hear your story. But I don't believe that's true. We've all had bad days. We've all had disappointments and hurts. We've all wanted things to happen a certain way, and they didn't go the way we expected. And inside, you know, maybe we're too stoic. Maybe we're too primed to keep a stiff upper lip or whatever. Maybe we've been ingrained to be quiet about it. And so we're not going to be sobbing uncontrollably, but inside we're groaning. Inside we're hurting. Life hurts. Perhaps not every minute, but it hurts. And at that point, Paul has prescribed something for you that you can do about that. And that is to let the Holy Spirit communicate that groan to God. Let the Holy Spirit take this. Sometimes we don't even know what would make it better, but we surrender to the Holy Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit to do the communicating for us. This is what I need. This, you know why I groan, maybe better than I do. You know, we bought a vehicle recently, and it's known to have blind spots. And we've been like discovering that there's a blind spot. Sometimes you just, there's a car there and you don't even realize it as you're driving down the road. You look at the mirrors, you look all the mirrors, and there's still a car there hiding as you're driving. So you have to be extra careful with this vehicle. A vehicle that's never been that way is my truck. I've been, you know, delighted with that thing. 18 years next month. My vehicle has not had blind spots, but it happened to me yesterday. I was driving along, and there was somebody there, and I didn't know. Fortunately, nothing happened. I saw it in time. But we go around the world in blind spots, not just in our vehicles, not just the ones that don't show up in our vehicular mirrors. We go through blind spots in our lives, things that are bothering us, and we just can't quite identify it. Somewhere in our cognition, somewhere in our lack of insight, we don't see what it is that's wrong. And sometimes we don't even know what we want. Well, those are the times to go to the Lord and just say, you see, you know the stuff I hide, you know the stuff I can't see, you know what I need even before I ask you. And so we let that groan come out of us and go to God and ask for the answers. Sometimes it takes years to find the answers. And sometimes we just get piecemeal answers. But we keep going back to God and asking. Because, you know, God really likes groaners. Not dad jokes, probably. I fear that my dad jokes might be something I have to answer for on the judgment day. But God likes people that groan inwardly and are willing to share that with God. God loves that kind of intimacy that we are cultivating with God just by praying and communicating, or letting the Spirit communicate for us. So I encourage you to go to your knees early and often. And if you can't bend on your knees, go to God in your chair and ask God to speak for you. Let the Spirit do the interceding. Let the Spirit do the groaning. Because I know at times you feel it.